Welcome to Blue Crew Diaries, an Umpire podcast. My name is Daryl, and I will be your host as we take a look behind the mask, so to speak, sharing stories, insights, and experiences from the unique perspective of the baseball umpire. In this episode, we'll go through some of the new rules updates for the 2025 Little League season. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, drop me a line at bluecrewdiaries@gmail.com. So if you're ready, grab your indicator and plate brush, and let's hit the field. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Blue Crew Diaries, an Umpire podcast. Oh boy, I know it's been... I think it's been about 6 months now since I last talked to you. Not really a lot going on as far as baseball is concerned. My local league had a big shakeup in the board of directors back in October. A lot of stuff went down. That's for another episode, possibly. But yeah, let's just say the board of directors went from, I think, 11 or 12 members down to 7. And of those 7, only 2 of these new 7 were on the 11-person board. So that was a big meeting. I'm told I didn't attend it, but... Yeah, apparently a lot of stuff come out, and it just kind of blew the lid off the whole thing, and everything got changed. So, as far as 2025 goes, we'll see what happens with this new board. As of right now, they have not elected a new umpire-in-chief yet, so I have no idea who I'm going to be working for next season. The umpire-in-chief that I had, he got done at the end of the 2024 season, before this whole shake-up deal with the board. He had pretty much had enough. His, 3 years that he did, he was good. So, we'll find out, hopefully within the next month or so, who I'm going to be working for. Depending on who it is, I may not be working for that particular league next year, but we'll see. So speaking of next year, let's get into the main topic for this episode. That is the 2025 significant updates for the Little League Rulebook. So for these updates, I kind of chose ones that would more affect us as umpires on a day-to-day basis out on the field. There are a number of other updates as far as like tournaments and stuff, but that's more like league administrator stuff. I am only going to be talking about the baseball stuff that relates to us umpires. I'm not going to be talking softball, but there's a bunch of changes there as well. So, starting off with just basic stuff that applies to every volunteer in Little League, Regulation 1C. So, there's been two changes to Regulation 1C. The first one requires all background checks be performed by J.D. Palatine, or Palatine, however they pronounce it. But all background checks have to be done by J.P.D. only. Before, there were, the rule was that you could have background checks performed by, whatever background check agency you wanted, as long as the background check conformed to certain Little League standards. That is no longer the case. JPD has to do the background check. That is it. My thoughts on that. Some people would say, oh, well, they're in bed with JPD, and, JPD is probably giving them a great rate or whatever. I just see it as everybody gets the same exact background check. It's just that simple. You don't have one person gets a background check by JPD, another person gets a background check by this company, another person gets a background check by this company. Yeah, it's all the same now. Everybody gets the same check. The other change to Regulation 1C, and this is not new for this year. It was new for 2024, but that is requiring all volunteers or anyone that fills out the volunteer application to complete the abuse awareness course. The wording on that has been changed a little bit for 2025. For last season, 2024 season, you had to complete the abuse awareness course, but the abuse awareness course, you had to do it either through USA Baseball or I think there were a couple other organizations that were Little League approved, that had Little League approved awareness courses. Now Little League has their own abuse awareness course right on the website. So that, you have to take the Little League abuse awareness course. So moving on to actual rules, playing rules again. I'm just going to get into the stuff that us as umpires would be dealing with every single game. The first change is to Rule 1.10 AR2. And that states that products such as, but not limited to, choke knobs, choke up assists, or thumb protectors are now considered alterations to the bat and are illegal. So, if you have a player who has a choke-up assist on the handle of the bat to help him get a little bit higher on the bat, that is now not allowed. It is considered an alteration to the bat, and it cannot be used. That is an illegal bat. And we'll get more into equipment stuff a little bit later on here. So the next change is to Rule 1.11A3. And this rule change now permits neoprene sleeves being worn without being covered by an undershirt. Before, if a player wanted to wear a neoprene sleeve on their arm, they had to have it covered. That is now not the case. However, the neoprene sleeve can be worn as long as it is a solid color, and that color is not white or gray. That's it. One of the two biggest ones, or three biggest rules changes that I'm going to talk about today is Rule 1.11I. So Rule 1.11I has been changed to remove the prohibition on player jewelry. So if you remember, you could, or a player could only wear jewelry if it was religious or some sort of medical alert type jewelry. And then they changed last year to allow hair beads because part of hair control. All the other prohibitions have now gone away. I have good and bad feelings about this. The good feeling I have about it is it's less policing for us as umpires. Now, if there is, say, a pitcher is wearing a necklace and it's you know, this long chain and it's hanging down, it could possibly be an issue as far as getting in the way or something like that. I don't see any harm or foul in going out there and asking the pitcher just to tuck it in their jersey. You can still wear it, just try to tuck it in your jersey so it doesn't get in the way. I don't see a problem with that. I've seen a few umpires on some of the Facebook groups and whatnot that have said they are going to do that. And I don't see any issue with that. So less policing for us as umpires. You may have the very rare event where a piece of jewelry actually causes a player injury, whether it's the player that's wearing the jewelry or another player that somehow gets tangled up in a necklace or something like that. Could happen. We'll see. I would think that the odds of that happening are very remote, but we'll see. We'll see if Little League wants to get any data on that. Getting into more equipment, Rule 1.16, this has been changed so that helmet stickers and decals are allowed as long as it's not excessive. Here's my problem. I would like to see some clarification come out from Little League on this, because my idea of excessive may be different from your idea of excessive, which is different from this other umpire's idea of excessive, which may be different than Little League's idea of excessive. So if I remember correctly, last year they couldn't take up like more than 25% of the helmet or something like that. I mean, I do like that they are now willing to allow the players to express themselves and who they are and whatnot by decorating their helmets. But I would kind of like some clarification on what does Little League mean by excessive. The only other thing that I have a slight issue with that one is any stickers or decals could hide any cracks or other deficiencies in the helmet. I'm not really a fan of that. Now, granted, in the two seasons that I've umpired, I've only had to throw one helmet out of a game for being cracked. And the crack was about 3/4 of an inch long, right on the left ear flap, right where the left ear flap meets the skull cap of the helmet. And that coach, I brought the helmet to him. I showed him the crack. I said, this helmet can't be used. He looked at it and said, wow, nice catch. I got another helmet in my truck. All right, good enough. He ran out to the parking lot, grabbed the other helmet. First thing he did was bring it to me. Hey, here's the other helmet if you want to take a look at it. I looked at it. Everything was good. I handed it back to him, said, that helmet is good to go. That was it. There was no issue, no argument, no anything. But here again, here in a minute, we'll get into some more equipment stuff. The next change is to Rule 2 regarding the at-bat notes 1 and 2. These clarify continuous batting order, stating that players, in order to meet mandatory play in continuous batting order, the players do not need to meet the running portion of mandatory play. So as long as they get an at-bat, basically, they're good. If they get on base, they can be pulled out for a pinch runner, something like that. They do not have to meet the running requirement for mandatory play. I'm going to skip the biggest one for the moment, and you'll see why here in a minute. The next to last one I want to talk about, it's last on my list because I'm skipping the other one. Rule 3.17. I don't know how I feel about this, guys. This one allows a team to use one-way communication to the catcher while the team is on defense. So basically, they are allowing Little League now to use, I know one of the systems out there is called PitchCom, but it's not catcher to pitcher, it's manager to catcher. So the manager can select which pitch to give to sign to the pitcher. I don't like it. Let's just put it that way. I mean, this is Little League, for crying out loud. Little League. I mean, seriously, why do we need PitchCom in Little League? Not only that, but now it's going to be an added expense to the teams, because you know for a fact every team is going to have this. In fact, I was talking about this the other day with one of my coworkers at my day job, and he said, I believe his nephew was in T-ball, maybe moving up to Farm League this year, I'm not sure, but he said, well, you know, how many teams around here are going to have that? And I looked right at him. I said, well, all it's going to take is one. One team is going to, you know, one of the coaches or the managers is going to go and buy this equipment on their own dime. And then every team in the league is going to have it. They're going to have it. Well, this team has it. We need it too. So, I mean, you may have a bunch of managers and coaches that will chip in themselves to buy it, but I see it being more of an added expense on the players and the parents, you know, to be able to afford this kind of technology. I'm not sure what PitchCom goes for price-wise. Let's see, PitchCom right there. Just Googling it real quick here. But yeah, And the other thing that I don't like is you're taking more of the game out of the catcher's hands. You know, I kind of like, you know, the catcher deciding, hey, what pitch are we gonna throw next? You're taking that away from him. I don't get it. So yeah, roughly around like $400 to $600 is roughly what PitchCom is going for, ish, depending on which version you get. But, you know, just let the catcher, you're taking more of the catcher's duties away. They don't have to think, you know, okay, in this situation, well, we just threw this pitch and we couldn't get him to swing, so what if we throw this pitch, maybe he will swing at it, or the same pitch, just bring it up a little or down a little or inside, outside, whatever. You're taking all that thought process away from the catcher. And now the manager is just hitting a couple buttons. The catcher says, oh, okay, this is what they want, and they sign that to the pitcher. I don't know. And again, this is Little League. I mean, I get the fact that, okay, yes, Major League Baseball is using it. You know, I think you've got some high school and college teams using it. So it's good to get, you know, get everybody used to using it. I just don't like it. I really don't. So, with that said, let's move on to the last update that I have to talk about, and this is the big change, in my opinion, to Rule 3.5. 0.01. The change to rule point 3.01 removes umpire responsibility to check equipment pre-game, placing that responsibility on the team manager. So no more going over to each dugout and looking at everybody's equipment. You don't have to look at bats anymore. You don't have to check helmets anymore. You don't have to check the catcher's gear anymore. Now, if illegal equipment is found, I'll get this out of the way first before I go on my rant. If illegal equipment is found, both the manager and the player using the illegal equipment, they are both ejected. Not only are they ejected from that game, they are also suspended from the next physically played game by that team. They cannot be in the stands. They can't be in the dugout. They cannot be on game property during that suspension game. Okay, so the good part of this is it removes the umpire's liability if an injury happens due to faulty equipment. So if a batter gets hit in the head by a pitch and gets a concussion, and it's determined that the concussion was more than likely caused by a big old crack in the player's helmet, that is no longer my fault as the umpire. I now have no liability for that. I mean, it's good because now the family can't sue me for medical bills saying, oh, well, you looked at his helmet and you said it was fine. And it turns out it had a big crack in it, and now he's got a concussion, all these hospital bills, and this and the other thing. So here's your lawsuit, Mr. Umpire, or Miss Umpire. It removes that. So we're no longer liable. It's now the coach's job. However, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Yes, it gives me less to do. So it gives me more time to walk the field, you know, whatnot, and just get ready for the game. Like I said in a previous episode, I like to get there at least a half an hour early. And sometimes I really don't get a chance to walk the field because I've got so much other stuff going on. So this takes out at least 10 minutes, depending on how thorough you were with your examinations. But this frees up 5 to 10 minutes of time. Now, that's not to say that you now can get to the field 5 or 10 minutes later than you normally would. No, no, no. At least a half hour early, that's when you want to be there. Some umpires are there an hour early. I usually range anywhere between half hour to 45 minutes before the game. And that's simply because the games usually start at 5:30. I get out of work at 4:30. Takes me some time to, you know, I change into my gear, my uniform, right at my job. Change there, jump in the truck. It's 5 minutes down to the field, or 2 minutes to the field, depending on which of the two fields I'm working. Either the YMCA field or the Knights of Columbus field. So there's that. The reason I don't like this is because what if there are safety deficiencies in the gear, like the helmet, or the catcher's helmet has a couple of screws loose for the face guard, or for the, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the actual bar mask portion of the helmet. Yeah, you put it on the managers, but I can't tell you in the last 2 years how many managers I've had to go to during my pregame equipment inspection and tell them, hey, that catcher's helmet needs a dangling throat guard. And the manager is looking at me like I'm speaking Japanese to him. No offense to the Japanese. But they had no idea that the catcher's mask had to have a dangling throat guard. No idea. I don't even think we have one. I actually had to loan my spare dangling throat guard to, I believe it was one of the Brewer teams one day because they didn't have one. They flat out didn't have one. That's why I keep a spare one in my gear bag. I told the coach, hey, you got to have a dangling throat guard on your catcher's mask. And I got kind of that deer in the headlights look. And, let me look. So they look around the dugout, look through all the equipment and everything. And then he comes back and says, yeah, we don't have one. Like, what are we going to do? I got you. I went to my gear bag at the tower, grabbed my spare, and gave it to him, said, here, throw this on there. And he made a point after the game to seek me out and give it back to me and thank me for allowing them to use it. To be perfectly honest, I had forgotten at that point that I even let them use it. I mean, if he had just left and taken it with him, honestly, I wouldn't have cared. I really wouldn't have. You know what? Now he's got it for the rest of his games. Doesn't matter to me. I'll go buy another one. Not a big deal. But, I don't like this change. I mean, I do like that it frees up some umpire time. It takes the liability off of the umpire if an injury happens or something like that. But, oh boy. Here's a question for you out there listening, and I want you to answer this honestly. And if you want, send me an email with your answer, bluecrewdiaries@gmail.com. If you're listening to this podcast episode on YouTube, leave a comment down in the comment section below the video. What are your thoughts on you're standing behind the catcher at the plate. A batter comes up with let's just say you're working majors, so only USA baseball bats can be used, and a player walks up with a BP Core bat, or a player walks up with a BPF bat. You're standing there behind the catcher. How likely are you as the umpire to notice that there is no USA baseball sticker on that bat? How likely are you to notice that? Me personally, I think it would be fairly difficult to see that, especially if the bat is turned the right way so the logo is facing away from you and towards the pitcher. How likely are you to notice that? How likely are you to notice a big old crack in the helmet, especially when the helmet is now covered in stickers? That's my problem. So, you may see that this bat is illegal, but whereas before, like this, the beginning of this season, the first game, I threw out like 3 or 4 bats that weren't legal. Very first game of the season, or the first 2 games I worked, I threw out a couple of bats. Then the minors game that I worked a couple days later, I threw out a bat there. Back before this rule change, sorry, I just hit the mic a little bit. Back before this rule change, you would see that. Hey, this is a BB Corps bat. Hey, manager, can I talk to you for a second, please? This is a majors division game. Only USA bats can be used. This is a BB Corps bat. This is an illegal bat. This cannot be used in the game. Okay, not a problem. The bat disappears out of the dugout. Moving on. Now, with this rule change, you don't have that. Batter steps into the box. If you somehow notice after the first pitch, hey, that looks like, all right, time. Batter, can I see that bat, please? Oh, look, a BB Corps bat. Okay, you're gone. Manager in the coach's box, you're gone. And you just ejected two players for something that should have been caught or would have been caught in the dugout before the game, before this rule change. How do you feel about that? I have never, in my two seasons of umpiring Little League Baseball, I have never ejected anyone. Now, yes, I should have ejected a coach like three freaking times already. But I'm too nice of a guy for that. So for me to eject a player and a manager for something as, I don't want to say something as stupid, but something as little as a bat that doesn't meet the proper specifications, that would just kill me as a person. Like, this bat never should have been out on the field, and yet here it is, and oh man, now I got to throw two people out of the game and suspend them from their next game because somebody didn't understand the rule. And that's something you got to watch out for with the BPF bat. Is a lot of BPF bats say USSA on them for, I think it's like United States Softball Association or something like that. And you'll get parents that say, oh, well, it says USA right there on the bat. No, 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 no. It has to be the USA baseball logo. And you can't have a USA baseball approved bat that's also a BB Corps bat or also a BPF bat. They don't really exist. So anyway, I'm rambling on. I'll shut up now. Let me know your thoughts on these rule changes as far as any of them, really. But especially the getting rid of the equipment pregame check by the umpire and also removing the prohibition on jewelry. Let me know what you think about that. Let me know what you think about allowing PitchCom. The first game that I work that I see they have PitchCom, I'm probably going to be standing behind the plate crying. Let's just be honest. Like, come on, this is Little League. Oh, you're using PitchCom. Oh boy. Enough of my rant, getting off my soapbox. Let me know what you think. BlueCrewDiaries@gmail.com or the comment section of the YouTube video if you're watching this on YouTube. As always, be sure to hit that the follow button or the subscribe button on your podcast player so you do not miss an episode. I will be trying to get more episodes out, trying to maybe get back on the monthly cycle like I was doing. That is about it from here. So as always, thank you all very much for listening, and I will see you on the diamond.